Well, I guess I should say it as well. Happy New Year, Fellowship. Really, really glad to be with you today as we start the year. Great to be with you online as well, and those in our family room. I'm really excited about this coming year. I had a great Christmas. Our family had a great Christmas season. I hope you did. We loved celebrating Christmas Eve with many of you at the World Trade Center. And then New Year's Eve, did everyone have a good New Year's? Hopefully you did something fun and got together with some people. Our family got together actually with Pastor Kwan's family, and we watched some fireworks. We weren't brave enough to go downtown. We were in Town Square. I don't know if anyone else was there for the fireworks, but if you were there, yes, ours were the boys that were in the water fountains at midnight, fully clothed. Yes, that was us. And we had a wonderful time bringing in the new year, and like you and like your family, we are looking forward to this coming year and what God has in store for us as a family, but as well for us as a church. God has been so faithful in the past years, and we're looking forward to these coming years as well. And today, I wanted to ask you a question. It's not your typical New Year's resolution question. I'm not going to ask you how much weight you want to lose this year, okay? I'm not going to ask you how many countries you want to travel to, or how much money you want to save or give away, or anything like that, okay? The question I want to ask is probably one no one else is going to ask you, but I think it's a good one to reflect on as a church as we begin the year. And here it is. In 2025, who will you become? Who will you become? In other words, what type of person do you want to become this coming year? Like when people interact with you at the end of this year, what do you want them to say about you? What do you want them to identify as the sort of person that you are? How will they describe you? Who will you become? In other words, yeah, are you content with who you are now? And do you want to become someone else? There's this saying, maybe you've heard this before, people never change. You ever heard that before? You ever thought that about someone? Usually we think that or say that when someone who lets us down yet again, and we're like, man, people never change. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's just who they are. And there's this assumption that some people never change. Well, actually, I don't think that's true. Because in reality, in terms of our character, not our personality, I don't expect you introverts to all of a sudden love being in crowds of people, but in terms of our character, absolutely, we do change. In fact, every human being, every one of us here, whatever season of life that we are in, we are experiencing formation. Did you know that? We're being formed day by day, moment by moment, from cradle to grave. We are in the process of becoming something or someone. And whether we want to or not, whether we're intentional about it or not, we're being formed into a certain type of person. There's a former pastor and an author named John Mark Comer, and he puts in his book, he writes this, spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing, or even a religious thing, it's a human thing. To be human is to grow, to mature, to adapt over time. Formation is simply the process by which our spirit or inner person is formed into a particular shape or character. And I think he's right. Do you agree with that? I think he's right, and the proof is evident, because if you just think back a year ago, think back to the beginning of 2024, think about who you were. Are you the exact same as you were a year ago? How boring would that be if you said yes? I hope you're not the exact same. Like, if you look back a year ago, are you more or less patient than you were a year ago? Are you more or less anxious than you were a year ago? Are you more or less loving than you were a year ago? Now, some of those things you might say, well, about the same. But overall, we are changing. And most of those you'd probably say, maybe more one or the other. We change. We are being formed, and hopefully, we are becoming the people that we want to become. Now, have you ever had that experience where you thought, how did I become like this? Did you ever have that? I remember the first time I did when I was a teenager, and I was 16 years old, and I realized one day, I'm an angry person. Now, it just started out simple. There was one person I was angry with about one thing. But that festered and it grew, and then it started spilling out into other relationships and other ways I viewed the world. And all of a sudden one day I was like, man, I'm an angry person. I don't like this. I don't like who I've become. I didn't mean for this to happen, and yet this is what happened. And that's because there are many things in life that are forming us. You'll see a slide here that has a bunch of different things. You know, relationships form us, our friendships, our family, our colleagues. That's why we tell our kids, right? We're like, watch out who you hang out with, because you'll become like them. The habits that we've learned and developed over time, they form us. The environment we live in, the culture we're from, that plays a big role in our formation too. The experiences that we've had in life, good and bad, they form us. The stories that we believe, the images that we see, that we put into our minds. Think of all of the images you've probably put in this past year over social media and over ads out in the streets and things that you've read and seen. There's so many images. All of these things play a role in forming us into certain sorts of people. And many of these things, the honest truth is, we didn't choose them. Our parents, our siblings, maybe you wish you got to choose your siblings, your culture, these things we didn't choose, but they began forming us from a very young age without our say in it. But here's the thing. Most of our formation in life as humans is actually unintentional. It's unintentional. We didn't realize it was happening. We didn't plan for it. It just happened. And who we are today is just who we became. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this very familiar verse, but I want us to look at it for a second. This is why Paul says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, there's two formation words in there, isn't this? He says, do not conform, that's a formation word, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, that's a formation word, by the renewing of your mind. See, there are two paths in life for each one of us. One, becoming more like the world. That's conforming. And two, the second path is transforming, becoming more like the people God created us to be. Conformed or transformed. And here's the danger. If we go through life unintentionally, guess which one you're going to become? You're going to become conformed to the image of this world, and not transformed into Christ-like people. Are you with me so far? Yes. All right. So once again, the question today is, who will you become this year? Who will you become? Or maybe more helpfully, I'll put it like this. Do you want to become more conformed to this world or transformed into the likeness of Christ, into the person that God created you to be, to become fully human? Well, if you don't really care, then it doesn't matter, all right? If you don't care who you become, there's no need to be intentional. Just go about life this year, see what happens. See what happens when things go bad and how you react to it. Follow your heart. You do you. You know that statement? My wife hates that statement so much. You do you. All this earthly wisdom, just do that if you don't care who you become. But I want to tell you this. If you want to be transformed in Christ, it is so important that we choose wisely both who we listen to and what we listen to. We must become intentional in our formation to know both who we want to become and to develop a plan for becoming that person. I find it so sad in life, the reality that we plan for so much. We plan for, you know, our finances and retirement. We plan for our families. We plan for our health. I know a bunch of us have these fitness apps on our phones, and they set us goals and they remind us what to do. We plan so much in life, and yet many Christians, many followers of Jesus, have no plan for how they are going to be transformed into Christ-likeness. Like, think about it. If someone asked you today, what's your plan for becoming a more loving person? Would you have an answer for them? What's your plan for becoming more patient this year? Many of us might just say, well, I hope it'll happen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to church. But do we have an intentional plan? Well, fortunately, Jesus is in the transformation business. We talk about that all the time here at Fellowship. He's in the transformation business, and he is committed to helping us become the people that he created us to be, a truly transformed person. He's got a plan, and he's got the power to do it in us. And so as we begin the year, I wanted to start us off by just looking together with you to Jesus for some guidance in this. So pop quiz here. When Jesus began his ministry, now after he was baptized and after he went into the desert and was tempted there, what did Jesus do first in his ministry? The scriptures tell us that he went and he began teaching and proclaiming about the kingdom of God and calling people to believe in it and to turn, to repent, turn from their ways and turn to God's kingdom. But listen to what he did next. In Mark chapter 1, we read this. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Listen to these words. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Please don't miss the significance of these verses that some of you have heard many times. These are really important words. Because there's two young professional men here. They're trained fishermen. Nothing remarkable about them at all. They're just like you and me. Well, you're remarkable. They're more like me. Unremarkable. And yet this rabbi shows up, invites them to be his followers, which in that day meant one thing. Not just that they would just follow him around for the day, but that they would become his disciples, which is not a small thing. It's not a short-term commitment. It's not a low-cost commitment. And right then, there in that moment, they make a decision. Yes, we will follow. We will put aside what we're doing right now and go. It's incredible. Because by leaving their nets, they knew what they were signing up for that day. They knew that this wasn't just a one-day seminar with Rabbi Jesus that they were going to. They knew this was an all-of-life commitment. Probably the best word in English that we have for what they were doing in that is the word apprenticeship. They were becoming apprentices of Jesus. Not just students, you know, like we think of school where you go and sit in a class and there's this information transfer from one person to another and you write tests and write exams. They weren't those kind of students. They were apprentices. And see, in the first century Jewish community, a disciple or an apprentice of a rabbi, they had three aims. And I'm borrowing this from John Mark Comer once again. I think it's helpful language. But he says the first aim of a disciple was to, what? What does it say? Be with their rabbi. The second aim was to become like their rabbi. And thirdly, to become capable of doing what their rabbi could do. See, essentially the purpose of discipleship back then was to be formed into a new sort of person, a person like their rabbi. That's what it meant to be a follower of someone. So at the end of their apprenticeship for Simon, right, and his brother Andrew, for at the end, people could look at them and say, wow, you guys used to be like this, but now you remind me of Jesus. You're just like him. That was the goal of an apprenticeship. See, Jesus went around to the towns and the villages and the cities not looking for fans, not looking for people who would just gather around him and like him and admire him and like what he has to say. He was looking for followers, disciples. From Simon and Andrew to James and John to you and me today, the invitation is, come, follow me. Be my apprentice. Forget about what you're doing for a moment, whether you're casting nets or writing a proposal. And follow me, be my apprentice. Essentially, the invitation is come be with me so that you can become more like me and become capable of doing the sorts of things that I can do. And that's what discipleship to Jesus here in the 21st century is all about. That's what it means to follow him. And if you and I were intentional and really understood what discipleship is, these would be the main three goals of ours. One, to be with Jesus, to be with him. To abide in him, to live in his presence, whatever we do, whether we're students or we're working or we're at home, wherever we are, to abide with him, be with him. Second, to become like him, to take on his character, what Jesus is like and how he interacts with people and views life, to become like him in that. And thirdly, to become capable of doing the things that he did, like administering God's love and God's truth into a broken and lost world and inviting others to become disciples of Jesus. And this invitation from Jesus is the exact same today as it was 2,000 years ago. come, follow me, be my disciple. And this is an invitation that every one of us needs to consider. I remember personally for me when I thought about this and really understood this invitation for the first time when I was 16 years old. And this was after my anger incident. But I remember thinking, you know what? I grew up in church. I believed in God my whole life. Some of you grew up in church. Some of you didn't. But I grew up and I believed in Jesus. I believed in what Jesus did on the cross for me. I believed that I was saved. And yet I had never said, Jesus, yes, I want to be your apprentice. I want to be with you. I want to become like you. I want to learn to do the sorts of things that you do. And it's a journey that led me to baptism and a journey that's had its ups and downs in my own personal life, absolutely. But Jesus has stuck with me and I've stuck with him. And it's still the primary desire and commitment of my life. But it's a big commitment, one that we shouldn't take lightly. I think probably the similar idea that, or metaphor to this is the idea of being a proposal, a marriage proposal. I know some of you are from cultures where marriages are either prearranged or encouraged. And now that I'm a dad, I'm fully in favor of this. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of how love is not, and marriage is not based on this emotion of love. It shouldn't be. It's based on commitment, right? But for those of us that have either proposed to someone or been proposed to, that's not an easy decision to make, is it? It's not like you should just wake up and, you know, someone proposes and you're like, yeah, sure. Let's try, right? No, it's a big commitment. Like, do I really want to spend my life with this person? Like, do I know them well enough? Do I feel like this is a person I am willing to commit my life to? It's a big decision. And I guess that's the question, the kind of question to ask when considering for yourself Jesus' invitation for you. Do you really want to become like Jesus? Is that the sort of life you would even want to be like him? Well, let's think about that for a moment. What kind of life is Jesus inviting us to live? What does it mean to be a Christ-like person? In the New Testament of the Bible, we see many, many descriptions of this, many explanations that help us see what this sort of person is like. But I thought we'd look at one familiar list that's not exhaustive. It's not all that it means to be a follower of Jesus, have the character, but it's a helpful list, and one probably that's familiar for you. It's Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's think about these words and these descriptions carefully. Don't read it quickly. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of someone whose lives, the character of God's Spirit is in them, is love. Okay? So someone who's becoming like Jesus is becoming a more loving person. Now, not just like an emotional love, but someone who gives away their lives for the sake of others. Someone who puts others' needs ahead of their own. That's the type of love this is talking about. Do you want to become that kind of person? It's a person of joy, it says. Not just happy. You don't have to be happy. But joy-filled. And no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter how good or bad, to be filled with a sense of joy. Peace is another quality of someone who is Christ-like. A person, not someone who never experiences stress or anxiety. Okay, that will happen for all of us. But a person that when we experience those moments, there is still this overwhelming sense of God is with me, and I'm at peace with him, and therefore I can have peace in this life. Forbearance, which is another word for patience. A Christ-like person is filled with patience. Kindness, not rude. Jesus was not a rude person. Jesus was a very kind person. Goodness, faithfulness, you know, someone who does what they say they're going to do, someone who is reliable and trustworthy, gentleness, not an aggressive person, but a gentle person, and self-controlled, someone who doesn't just lash out, someone who actually is intentional and has control over their words and their actions. You know, some of you have memorized that list before. You've heard this, right? You've heard it many times, but I want to ask you this. Is that the sort of person that you really want to become? Like at work, at your workplace, do you want to be known as a gentle person? In your community, do you want to be known as a loving, like a self-giving person, the person who puts others' needs ahead of their own? Do you want to become known as a peaceful person? Is that who you want to be? Are these qualities you want to desire? Because this is what Jesus is like. That's who he is. That's who our rabbi is. He is like this. And these are some of the qualities he wants to grow in us. But is that what we want? You know, last week I was at Creekside or other location, and I made a big mistake. During the service, our 1 p.m. service, we had a special guest in the service. No one knew they were coming. It was a very famous person. I'm not going to tell you who, because then you're going to be all crazy and wild. And no, some of you will, depending on the culture you're from. But during the service, actually, I went out to our family room to visit the people there and just see if everything was going okay. And on the way, I ran into one man. And knowing his culture, his background, where he was from, I made the mistake. I said, "Hey, did you know that so-and-so is here today?" He's like, "In Dubai?" I'm like, "No, like here at Fellowship, at Creekside, like right now." And he got out of his chair and he put his kid down, like his 2-year-old kid. And he was like, "Oh my, oh." He's like fixing himself up and he looked at me. He's like, thank you so much for telling me." And he was so excited. And I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious. And it made me think, how would we react if Jesus showed up today? Like, what if I told you, "Hey, guess what, guys? I got a call from Jesus. He's going to be here at 1 p.m. today." Right? Like, how would you respond to that? It made me realize, like, do we look up to and admire and love Jesus in the same way that we love and admire so many famous people in the world today? Do we love him and respect him, the King, the Savior of the world? Is that how we would respond? No doubt we love what Jesus did for us on the cross that made it possible for us to have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. But do we love him for who he is? Do we respect him? Do we admire him? Do we adore him in the same way that so many of us adore some of the most influential people in the world today? Well, the truth is, only Jesus leads to life. Both eternal life in heaven, yeah, but even meaningful, fulfilling life here on this earth. He is the one who said, and I believe it's true, that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. That was his claim. He came, he said, to give us life in all its fullness. He alone can help us become fully human in the way that God created humanity to be. And the absolute best that any of the influencers in the world or any of the wealthy people or any of the athletes in the world that we love could do for us is just a mere shadow of what Jesus, the ultimate rabbi, has in store for all who would follow him and make him the primary desire of their lives. And so the gracious and the loving invitation Jesus puts before every single one of us, and you got a fresh start here in 2025, the invitation for you this morning is from Jesus. Come, follow me this year. Don't be my fan, be my apprentice. And I'm going to lead you into the most meaningful and fulfilling life you could ever live. Not a life free from trouble and trials and struggles and stress, but still the most fulfilling life you could ever live. That's what Jesus wants for us. And that's what we want for you here at Fellowship in this coming year and in the rest of your life. Well, if that is what you want, let's explore that for a second, because I think it's important that we get practical with this, because the process is different than it was 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, we can't just follow Jesus around like Simon did and hang out and eat meals with him and be taught by him 24 hours a day, but we can still apprentice under him today. And you don't have to quit your job or your studies to do it. You can apprentice him in the midst of whatever you're doing in life right now. But here is how we change. If we apprentice under him, we must, just like an apprentice of a trade trains under a master, we, as followers of Jesus, must train under Jesus. We must not just simply try to change, we must train. And this is a mistake many of us have made in life. See, we don't become like Jesus simply by trying to be like Jesus. That doesn't work. Like, I know you probably tried to be more patient, right? How did that work out for you? Yeah, you probably failed. Maybe you've tried, you know, "I want to be a more loving person," and you tried to be more loving. Well, maybe for a couple days you were really nice to people and you did some nice things, but ultimately you probably failed. It's kind of like running a marathon. Does anyone have the goal this year of running a marathon? Who are you, crazy people? Anyone going to run a marathon this year? We got one? We had a couple at the 9 a.m. All right. Well, let me tell you this. If you want to run a marathon, you don't just wake up one morning and try to run a marathon, do you? No. Unless, if Pastor Barack would say, unless you're Kenyan, then you could do it. But if for the rest of us, we need to train if we want to do something like that. We would put in practices in our life, in our week, in our daily lives, weekly lives, to enable us to do that. And it's the same thing with becoming like Jesus. It happens over time as we train under him. And this is how. By embracing the spiritual practices and the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual habits, some people call them, that Jesus himself followed and that followers of his have followed throughout history. We train under our master, Jesus, by embracing the spiritual practices that enable us to be with Jesus so that we can become like Jesus and therefore become capable of doing the sorts of things that Jesus would do if he were in our shoes. And when we do our part, we live out intentionally these spiritual practices and we rely on the Holy Spirit to do his part, which is to actually change our hearts from within over time, the result is transformation. And the result is that you no longer just have to try to be loving, you're actually a loving person who naturally does loving things, where you're not just constantly fighting to be more patient when you're driving on the roads. You find yourself just to be a patient person. And totally fine with someone cutting you off. This is possible. That's the kind of thing Jesus wants to do. Not just change our actions, he wants to change us from within. So what are these spiritual practices? What are these spiritual habits? Well, there's actually many of them. I'm not going to pretend that there's only a couple things you do and all of a sudden, bam, you're like Jesus. Here's a list or some different spiritual disciplines that Jesus practiced and that followers of Jesus have practiced throughout history. And these are things that we can do to intentionally to allow God's Spirit to change us. Some of the crucial ones up there are things like Scripture, reading the Bible. Do you read the Bible? Listen, reading the Scripture is absolutely fundamental to becoming more like Jesus. What did Romans 12:2 say? It said, be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. That's right. Our minds need to be renewed because there's all sorts of lies and all sorts of images and all sorts of ideas and stories in there that we've grown up to believe. And yet some of those need to be changed. They need to be changed. And Scripture, we don't have Jesus here to speak to us in person anymore, unfortunately, but we do have his life and his teachings and the teachings of the apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Bible to teach us the truth and to form our minds. So if you want to be an apprentice of Jesus, this is a non-negotiable. We must be people of the Word of God who regularly listen to it, think about it, and apply it to our lives. Well, another key spiritual practice you see up there is prayer. Prayer is another one, because guess what? If Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, he spent a lot of time in prayer, what do you think he expected his apprentices to do? To pray. That's right. But not just to pray in the way that many of us tend to, which is, God, just give me this, give me this, give me this. I need this, I need this, I need this. But to pray like Jesus himself prayed. Jesus, who actually took time to go away and just be silent with God. Just set apart some time in your life to say, I'm just going to be still before God, and I'm going to ask him things, but I'm also going to listen and learn to listen to his voice. And as we do, over time, guess what? God changes us on the inside. The third one I'll point out from this list here, you see many more, but the third one is this spiritual discipline of community. And this really is a discipline because many of us sign up for things like community. Hey, I want community. I want friendships. But we don't realize that this is actually a discipline. This is something important, so important that no matter what else is going on in life, no matter how tired we feel sometimes and how busy and how bad the roads are, that this is actually should still be a priority for us. Because how did Jesus disciple his first apprentices? He got a group of them together, and he discipled them as a community. You can't grow to become more like Jesus all alone. We need other followers of Jesus in our lives to help us, encourage us, pray for us, teach us, and for us to be able to do that for others as well. We need community. And that's why we have small groups, and we talk about it all the time at Fellowship. I really hope you'll take this seriously in 2025 and say, you know what? I've been trying to do this journey with Jesus alone. I need some people. Let me tell you, some of the excuses that I've heard are, you know, I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. Some of you have actually tried and it hadn't gone well. You've had a bad experience. Or some of you are in one right now and you're like, it's not what I was hoping it would be. I want to give you permission here in 2025 to try a new group. Take a step. Someone had a bad experience. Take a step and try a new group. Find a community with people who love Jesus and who are committed to helping you become like Jesus. We've got over 150 small groups in our church. I know you could find one. And let us help you find the one that's near you or convenient for you. I want to tell you about two in particular. We've got our Men Connect and our Women Connect. Fantastic places to come gather with a bunch of guys or a bunch of women once a week. You spend some time together, and then you break off into small groups. So we have Men Connect and Women Connect. I'll tell you about that more, or you'll see a slide in a little while. But we need community. We need it. And, you know, maybe some of these practices, you're like, I already do that, Aaron. I already do these things. Well, some of these other practices you may want to try and train in this coming year. And you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn and find people to say, hey, will you teach me about fasting? Will you help me explore this discipline? I can't cover it all here today in one message, but look out to other brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, do you know about solitude? Can you teach me how do I spend time alone with God? What does that even look like? Make some plans to try some of these other disciplines this year. But you've got to understand this. Please, please hear me on this. If you have been just zoned out the whole time, listen to this, please. This is not a checklist of things to do this week. If you take a picture and you're like, okay, Christians, what do? They take Sabbath, they serve, they do this, and you just check off the list, you will not change. You will not become more like Jesus. Listen, we all know people who pray. We know people who know the Bible better than we do, and yet you look at them and you're like, you don't look like Jesus. You can know the Bible really well. You can serve really hard. You can be a really generous person and yet not have the character of Christ formed in you. This is not a checklist, because the goal and the motivation would have been all wrong. Because the goal for followers of Jesus is not to pray. The goal of followers of Jesus is not to read the Bible. The goal of followers of Jesus is not to fast. What is the goal? To become like Jesus. The goal is to be with Jesus so that we can become like him and become capable of doing the things that he does. That's the goal. And these things up here are simply the means by which God wants to transform us. Do you see the difference? Don't mistake the vision and with these means here. Don't mistake the goal with these things that we can intentionally do. It's kind of, I love the image of a dentist chair. I don't like the dentist, but I like the dentist chair, the image of it. I think it's helpful. Because if you or I have a pain in our mouth, if our teeth are hurting, what do you need to do? You need to go to the dentist. If you want that pain to be fixed, you've got to go and sit yourself in the chair. You need to intentionally make a decision to go put yourself in the chair and allow the dentist to do the work. Well, guess what? The spiritual practices, they are like the chair. They're like the chair. Reading scripture, prayer, fasting, meeting with other Christians, these are the things that you and I can do by our own effort that put ourselves in a posture whereby God can change us, just like the dentist wants to fix your mouth. He's not going to force it on us, just like a dentist isn't going to force you into his chair, I hope, you know. But he will lovingly and powerfully work in us when we let him. And so if you want to take your apprenticeship to Jesus seriously this coming year, if you want to be with him, become like him, and become capable of doing what he does, here's what I would suggest you do. I've already talked about small groups. Friends, I encourage you to get in a small group. We have groups even that meet online for those of you watching online. Get in a small group. Check out Men Connect or Women Connect. Make this a priority in your life this year to help you become more like Jesus. And whether it's in small groups or just with a group of friends, I want to encourage you to check out this one resource. It's called Practicing the Way. This resource is not just a book to read. It's not just a book study. This is a guide for you and your friends to learn how to practice some of these spiritual practices. It's a guide that if you follow it each week and you do the disciplines, it'll actually train you in how to do some of these practices. It will help you make a plan for your life of how you're going to grow in Christ this coming year. Some of our staff went through this at Fellowship, went through this past year, and we found it really helpful, really meaningful, and so I highly encourage it to you. But don't just read it alone. Find some people to do it with you and to go through it. At the very least, though, can I encourage you this week, just like you've probably done with your fitness or other, or your finances or things like that, will you just sit down, maybe go have a coffee or a tea somewhere and sit down with Jesus and make a plan for how you are going to apply some of these spiritual disciplines in your life? How often are you going to read the Bible? What are you going to read? Don't start with massive goals. Start with some small goals. But make a commitment. I'm going to read the Bible every day, first thing when I wake up. Or I'm going to read right before I go to bed every night. And this is what I'm going to read. Make a plan for how you're going to pray. Maybe there's one day a week where you can take an hour and you devote that and you say, I'm not going to watch Netflix. I'm going to get off my devices and I'm just going to find a quiet place 1 hour a week and go sit and be with Jesus. Make a plan. What are you going to do this coming year? Start with these practices, and as you do them, this is the key, as you open God's word, as you go into prayer, say this, God, transform me to become more like Jesus. Use this time and this effort I'm putting in to form me. And you know, if you don't know where to start, or if you're still exploring who Jesus is, we've got a great place for you to explore that question. If you're like, no, I'm not ready to be his apprentice yet, please come join our Alpha course that starts next week here at the SO. Many of you, I know, have already gone through Alpha, and it's been a phenomenal experience. You're going to build some friendships. You're going to get some of your questions answered. Really safe place to learn and grow. Really encourage you to check that out. But let's all remember this. We are all becoming someone. And I know you don't want to get to the end of this year and be like, shoot, how did I become like that? We are either going to become more conformed to this world or transformed into the likeness of Christ. And if we're not intentional, we will be settling for far less than we could be. So let's not just become anyone. And let's not become a church that just becomes any church this year. Let's not just settle for being fans of Jesus. Let's become the people God created us to be. People of the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us as we start this journey this year. Well, Jesus, we want to thank you today for this gracious invitation you put before each one of us to be with you, to learn from you, and become like you. And I pray, God, that you would make that invitation very real in every heart today, and that you would help each one of us to take this question seriously and to think about it. Lord, would you make us a people that are not conformed to this world, but transformed into Christ? As a church, we want to say that we believe that in you there is life alone. You are the source, the giver of life in all its fullness. And so this year we pray that we would experience that. Make us more like Jesus. Make us more loving. Make us more kind. Make us more gracious. You know, we realize and we believe today, Jesus, that it is because of your death and your resurrection that we can be forgiven of sin and that we can have life eternal. But we don't want life just to begin when we die. We want life to begin right now as we follow Jesus. So help us, form us. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.